But anyway, let's go back to the whole point of this thing. China is often blamed for so many things, including the way they manage their people. But don't forget that a lot of the management techniques were written out before China, modern China, even communist China became communist. The techniques were written out by the socialists in the West long before that. How, if only they had the power, this is what they would have given all of us back then. Don't forget that. The Fabian Society, the George Bernard Shaw types that in the 1920s talked about bringing in a system of mandatory socialism, and you would have to prove to your masters why they should allow you to stay alive. What would you do for their state, you see? Because that's the function of it all, is to serve the state, serve the state, serve the state. Don't forget that. And so these characters were pushing for that and writing volumes about it and techniques to do it, and even experimentation again on implementation and studying it on other peoples before China adopted it. The elite of the world have always studied techniques of mass control. Always. The elites of the world, as I've said before so many times, are right into eugenics like you wouldn't believe. They're like deep sea divers in a sense. It's as deep as you can go without getting crushed. That's where they go with it all. They really believe in all this stuff. Because the history of the world to them is rather simple. It's about generations of the right kind of families choosing suitable mates from other right types of families, the successful type, the winners, as they call it, and holding on to their money and possessions through generations and accumulating incredible wealth. But don't think they simply did it what you would call honestly. The richest people on the planet simply extorted it from other peoples that they often thought were inferior. The aristocracy of, say, the 19th century, and even into the 20th century, but the 19th century was incredibly haughty and beyond snobbish in even Britain, for instance. They believed, along again with, you might say, academia to an extent too, and more selective papers that were more a bit more secretive than the ones they published later on how to manage the people on behalf of an upper class. They saw the peasantry of Britain, who had cholera, remember, in the 19th century, and centuries before that too, in their big factory towns where they crammed the people into completely inhumane conditions to die at the age of 17. This is the 19th century. And they looked at them, their stunted growth, and what appeared to be a bit of retardation in them, as their fault. They were the losers in the game of life from bad genetics, from bad stock. And so it never occurred to them, actually, in those days. And the Galtons and the Darwins and the rest of them all chatted quite openly about this in the Royal Society, which they set up with the beehive as their first project, a symbol of the perfect society. But they saw the people as defective, in a sense, defective genes. It didn't occur to them that the conditions they lived in, with malnourishment and terrible hygiene, was a cause of their stunted growth, their physical ailments, their short stature, because they didn't grow very tall, their short lives, and the fact they couldn't beat off common illnesses or diseases because their immune system was shot because of malnutrition and malnourishment, etc. Didn't occur to them. It's much easier to blame the creatures, or let's be honest here, the animals. That's how they saw the people. And many of them discussed it and said it this way too, by the way. Often it's an unfortunate superior racial thing when they call their folk animals. And that also happened in Britain to a lot of the people who worked in the factories. So therefore, you can get symbiosis between different peoples against the ordinary people who are suffering and doing all the terrible work to make their betters richer. And the people also were pulled out of the rut occasionally, dressed up in the first decent clothes they'd ever had, and sent off to wars to fight for the system, given a wee bit of respect while they were fighting, if they lived long enough, and came back with a superior stature, you might say, than the peasantry they'd left behind. So there's definitely a system, again, which works for behalf of the elite. All young guys are very prone to get picked up by the military boys and used for all the wrong reasons. And I never figure out if they survived that they've been used, often to subjugate other peoples across the planet. But they're taught to feel proud of it, and for the first time in their lives, they feel there's a purpose to something. And the purpose is to do the fighting for those who own and control what you think is your country. Simple, isn't it, really? But we live in an abuse system. I've always said this. It's an abuse system. It's based on abuse. And today, I'd say that more than ever, it's an abusive system, even though its techniques are more psychological. But it's still all pervasive. It's around you everywhere. Everything you look at, for every bad training you get, all your entertainment, every newscast you hear from the big boys, television or radio, is so managed. Some in countries more incredibly so than others. It's very blatant. It's worse than way worse than the old Soviet Union radio used to be. Way worse than that. And I know way more about it too. I've studied it intensely, but I won't go into it in detail here. But the thing is, most folk will never figure this out. With incredible boasting about the system that would come into play, which we're in, with the incredible releases of information and articles from science and so on, telling you how far they've got with eugenics, for instance. Bits and bites that go through most folks' heads, if at all, without even temporarily sticking on the way in and out. Because again, they're overloaded with data and information. Most of it, as I say, is irrelevant. But from the old talks I used to give about eugenics, and give you examples of movies that had it in it, for instance, like Gattaca, and many others, of course, then you see the articles coming out about improving the species again by taking out the bad genes, the defective genes, as they call it, and putting in the right genes, which is in the movie too, but there's articles there. I'll put some up tonight, some of the links up tonight about tampering and altering the genetics of society, all for the common good, you understand? Which by that they mean making it easier to control a generation born that way, and conceived and altered that way, into a brave new world, so they can serve better the elite, who won't need as much management then once they've put all the rebellious genes that you might have, or even the inquisitive genes you might have, just remove them out of the way and try and keep you still functional and productive on behalf of your owners, and things perhaps will be okay. If you look at the history, as I say, of the world, and how every country that was what was called imperialist would go out to create its empire by using generally the poor folk from the countries as cannon fodder, but they'd also often recruit people within those countries who also had nothing and gave them the uniform so they could subjugate their own people. And it's tragic how abuse can be trained into people who should know better. But everyone succumbs to it and says, oh, well, I'm getting paid for it, you know, and now I'm different, I'm superior, I'm wearing this uniform. And then go off and round up your own people and beat them, or line them up for firing squads and shoot them. So the abused become the abusers right down to the present day.